welcome to another edition of the Australian DX Report. This is Bob Padgett in Melbourne, Australia, bringing to you our latest roundup of news concerning shortwave broadcasting stations around the world. We include information concerning propagation reports, monitoring information, solar activity news, schedule information, and other items of interest to shortwave monitoring enthusiasts. A reminder that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. The latest information from the Ionospheric Prediction Service, that's the Department of Space Services, located in Sydney, New South Wales, indicates that solar activity continues to remain at a very low level. The 10.7 centimetre solar radio flux has dropped to 70, that's 70, and the daily smooth sunspot number has fallen to 6. So those figures suggest that high frequency propagation on frequencies above about 10 megahertz on darkness or semi-darkness paths in the immediate future will continue to be unreliable. However, transmissions on frequencies, that's long-haul transmissions on multi-path modes, on daylight circuits will be somewhat more satisfactory. In the meantime, some information concerning shortwave broadcasting stations. As listeners may be aware, Super Typhoon U2 scored a direct hit on two islands in the Northern Marianas Islands in October. Two shortwave radio transmission antenna farms used by the US Agency for Global Media in Saipan and Tinian were ripped apart by 180 miles per hour winds in October. That's when Category 5 Super Typhoon U2 ravaged the Northern Marianas Islands group in the northwestern Pacific Ocean. Deemed to be tied with Super Typhoon Mangkhut as the strongest storm on Earth this year by NASA's Earth Observatory, U2 leveled buildings and electrical infrastructure in this US Commonwealth. Power was still unavailable in many areas in December, and repairs are expected to take many months. U2's eye passed between the two islands of Saipan and Tinian, so the super typhoon scored a direct hit on our two transmission sites, says the USA GM Director of the Office of Technology Services and Innovation. The damage was extensive, very extensive at both sites and of course on both of the islands. Until recently, USAGM, which was originally the Broadcasting Board of Governors, uses the Saipan and Tinian sites to broadcast Radio Free Asia and Voice of America multi-language programs into China and other Asian nations. Although RFA, VOA shortwave transmissions have now been moved to other Pacific Ocean sites for the time being, none offer the range and reach of the Saipan Tinian sites. Collectively, the stations or the locations are known as the Robert E. Camosa Transmitting Station, or REKTS. Those stations were completely wiped out, wrote the manager of the USAGM Philippines Transmitting Station in a text message to shortwave hobbyists, and it says antennas were mangled, roofs partially torn off, fence lines flattened, and both sites will be off air a minimum 6 months, possibly up to a year. The extensive and extreme damage suffered as the two REKTS sites are breathtakingly portrayed in USAGM online photos. So powerful were the winds that the concrete weight rings that hold down an antenna guy wire anchor were literally shaken to pieces. Feed and power lines were knocked down everywhere, STL leaks toppled, and curtain array shortwave antennas consisting of transmission wire webs strung between support towers were tangled and torn like unraveled knitting sweaters. Every operating curtain array antenna has been damaged in a way that they cannot be used, said a spokesman. The towers are still there, but the curtains and elements have been severely damaged and in many cases torn off. There's no way in the short term that they are going to be able to restore broadcasting. A team is to be sent there, an expert team, to assess which antennas can be replaced and which ones can be repaired. Meanwhile, satellite dishes that downlinked Radio Free Asia and Voice of America programs are either fragmented like china plates dropped on a stone floor or simply blown away, he said. They're just gone. In contrast, the main buildings at both sites are pretty much intact. The shortwave transmitters inside the buildings are intact, but some of them have water damage. They've been dried out, but you never know if they're going to be completely functional until you fire them up again. REKTS does have local power, thanks to its own generators, but the main electrical grid that normally feeds the two sites is still offline. REKTS staff have been doing whatever repairs are necessary to the two sites' buildings, plus removing fences knocked down by the high winds and debris blown into their properties. Debris from anywhere on the island seems to have ended up on our sites, said the spokesman. But repairing the massive curtain arrays in a timely manner is beyond their capacity. They just don't have enough people or equipment to do the job without substantial outside help. The destruction of RKATS shortwave transmitting capability comes at a time when the USAGM has been backing away from shortwave broadcasting in general. The big reason is money. For example, the cost of powering the three 100 kilowatt continental transmitters at the Saipan site alone is astronomical compared to streaming content online. For similar reasons, governments around the globe have either cut back the international radio services, the BBC World Service having ceased shortwave broadcasts in North America entirely, or eliminated them. USAGM has made no secret of its desire to shift its investment from shortwave to newer, more fashionable technologies, said a retired VOA audience research analyst. So, it might be tempted, the spokesman suggests, to take this opportunity to close the Northern Mariana shortwave stations, or at least Saipan, the smaller of the two. Still, he suggests if the towers at Saipan are still standing, and the transmitter is still operational, and given the rising potential for crises in East Asia, further squeeze in the internet, it will be a good idea to keep both stations off on the air, he said. So that was a summary, or an extract of a report, in the Radio World online magazine for communication specialists. So in the meantime, no more transmissions from Saipan or Tinian in the immediate future, and it's unknown whether they will actually be continued in the future. Monitoring here in Melbourne recently suggests that good signals will continue to be noted in the Melbourne sunrise period. This is the summary of some signals noted recently between 1830 and 1900 in the 49 metre band. 5860, Radio Fardar, broadcasting in Russian, I'm sorry, in Persian, from the Kuwait relay station. 5895, the BBC, broadcasting in Pashto from the Yerevan, Armenia relay station. 5915, Zambia Broadcasting Corporation's domestic service. 5935, Radio Romania International, broadcasting in English. Same station noted with Romanian on 5990. 6010, China Radio International, broadcasting in Ukrainian, in Chaozhou, Chinese dialect, from the Urumqi relay or transmitting station. 6030, Ethiopia, Radio Oromia, broadcasting in the Oromo language. 6040, very strong signal of Korean broadcasting system at Seoul, using the relay station in England from Wolferton in Russian. And 6070, China Radio International, broadcasting from Beijing in Russian. 6110, Radio Fana, broadcasting from Ethiopia in the Oromo language. And 6170, the Voice of Korea, broadcasting in German. That's all the information in our program this time. We hope you found the broadcast interesting and helpful for your shortwave radio monitoring.